This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
There's a lot of bad advice that they give, and 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 to me. I was really calm until she stopped texting me. All of this anxiety's a struggle to me. Think she felt my boner when she cuddled with me. I'ma just say fuck it and go 0 to D. I don't wanna write it and they diss me. Yeah, I take advice if they give in to me. Hoping that the game boy's gonna pick me. Hope my parents don't check browser history. Jake's plan, Amir's plan.
Now we're just going to go around Miami giving out sort of okay advice to strangers.
You're talking about the video where Drake gives a solid amount of cash to strangers?
Yes.
Yeah. Demi and Miel. What's
Hi.
Up
Hello.
In the house? That
Hi.
Was that was accurately stated, a God's plan. Drake parody, though Miel brings up a good point. Is it a parody if he just steals the beat and then makes a different song about it?
It's just like a remake. Part
yeah.
two.
It's not making a... Although, like, what did Weird Al do? Did Weird Al do parodies, or did he just, like... Like,
those
is
were,
Amish Paradise a parody?
Well, because it rhymes. So I feel like if it rhymes with the original
But
title.
It's not, like, commenting on the original. It's
no.
just, like, a song that sounds like the original.
Yeah, what defines parody?
Yeah.
Do we do parodies on Project Cham, or is that just... using the beat.
I just hear that word a lot.
Right. There's parody is just sort of a way that you can get away with stealing.
Yeah.
Like, no. I was making fun of it.
Were you? Or did you just take the beats? Well, whatever. It's a parody.
Actually,
it's also
Queen,
funny that saying
Ice
parody.
Ice Baby is a parody.
Yeah. Do. Parody.
I didn't steal it, but if I did, it was actually a parody.
That guy said it was written by Aaron Tian, and he said he has no SoundCloud to promote, but he did make an app called Flight Drop that helps you search for airfare.
Ooh,
okay.
Cool.
So Flight Drop, shout out to Flight Drop, which is also
really
a cool name.
Plane simulator where you get to crash for fun.
Is that true?
No.
Oh, you're
that's
saying it sounds like that.
Yeah.
Got
maybe
it.
You're just punching that idea up if you haven't already done too much.
That's what you guys are pros at.
Yeah. When people tell us things they've done, we're like, here's how it could be better.
We have no friends.
We should say that you have a new HeadGum podcast called Punch Up the Jam where you guys make these types of Nah, I don't want to say parody now because I'm afraid. You take songs and make them better.
Yeah.
I mean...
What's the elevator pitch to your podcast?
Yeah, how would you explain it to your aunt?
You're in an elevator that's crashing.
Okay.
You have 3 seconds to live, and you want to use that time to get one more subscriber.
Splat! Oh, you should have cut Jake off.
Oh, it was a test.
It started while he was talking.
I would say my friend Demi and I...
Just friends?
Sorry,
the hell's
right.
that supposed
you're
to be?
Right. I mean, barely friends.
My best friend,
correct.
Demi and I, we revisit classic tunes that maybe could use a little bit of a shoeshine.
That's good.
And we try to make them better.
Yeah.
Like songs that didn't necessarily age well or were never good at
or actually are great and were just really brave.
Yeah, most of our songs so far have been songs that we like and think are genuinely enjoyable. But also, if you take a close look at them, you're like, oh, how did we all... get so excited about this for so long.
They're like the avatar of music, basically.
Yes, they're the avatar of music.
Very nice.
Jake and I were on an episode where we dissected Your Song by Elton John.
Correct. Right.
That's an example.
Yeah. Sure. We did one, Welcome to the Jungle, that was really fun, in large part because Demi made the most insane punch-up I've ever heard of anything.
Really?
He made a full musical number.
That's the craziest part about your podcast is that every week you not only have to record the show, which is... fine.
You write a
moderate
new
difficulty.
Oh, yeah, you write a new song. Yes.
But then you write a new song every week. Is that sustainable?
Who knows?
Oh, I mean, sustainability is not what we're going for. We're going to be... I can't wait to see, like, a progression of photos from, like, the first episode where we're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in the end where it's, like, Obama at the end of his presidency and we're all gray-haired.
Kill me.
Yeah, we're all just like, it's episode 20 and we're dead. But I think by doing this a lot, we've sort of gotten good at doing it somewhat quickly, or at least planning it out where if we want to do a crazy punch-up, we're like, all right, we'll record this episode in 2 weeks.
Right. That's great. Take your time. You know, or, you know, just, like, live fast, die young.
Exactly.
Burn out bright.
Yeah,
good hosts do it well.
Well, this is a different podcast. This is an advice show. It's called If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet that Jake and I host.
That's true.
Sometimes it's just us. Sometimes we have friends. Today we have best friends in the studio.
Sure. Hell yeah.
Demi and Miel. I was going to talk about the fact that you guys are coming to Austin with us, but by the time this episode comes out, you will have already been back in Los Angeles.
We went to Austin with you.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. It's so sad that Amir and I died in a plane crash on the way home.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
I warned you guys.
I said you can't fly.
That was a little weird. Your warning was so ominous.
We tried to fly the plane.
I was like, great show, guys. Hey, don't get on that plane. Bye.
That was 3 days before our flight, too. I didn't know what you were talking about. Anyway, these are questions submitted to us from real people. They are begging for our wisdom, but we're going to give them a fake name just to preserve their anonymity so we don't out them in any way, shape, or form. Miel, do you have a fake name to give this person so we can reference them? It's a lady, an 18-year-old female virgin.
Yeah, okay, for sure. Her name is absolutely Carlin.
Carlin.
Mm. Carlin. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Like George?
Like her first name is absolutely and her last name is Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm absolutely Carlin. It's also her handle on everything.
Yeah. Sounds like a Nickelodeon TV show.
Yeah.
Please don't steal it.
It's George Carlin. George Carlin's autobiography too. All right, she writes. Carlin writes, I'm an 18-year-old female and a virgin. I've been dating my boyfriend for 2 months now, and we've been talking about losing our virginities to each other. He also talks about how excited he is to eat me out. I'm looking forward to all this happening, except for one thing that's making me nervous. I've always been insecure about how my pussy looks. It's a totally normal, healthy, and good-looking pussy.
Wow, okay, stop bragging.
for the most part, in terms of shape and size. The thing I'm insecure about is the color. I am of Indian descent, and I have tan skin. Like most girls of my skin color... My pussy, I feel weird saying pussy so much talking about her, but I'm just reading her email, so I have to.
It's also the inflection, which you say, like, my pussy.
My pussy.
You're really leaning into it.
Yeah. That's right. Head on. Most girls of my skin color, my pussy area is darker than the rest of my body. After years of watching porn that's dominated by white and light-skinned pussy, I've grown to find my pussy unattractive.
She is writing it a lot just to fuck with you, I think.
Yeah, I imagine my boyfriend, who is white, has had similar experience in watching mostly white girl porn. Will he be grossed out or find it weird when he finally sees my...
pussy!
Yeah!
Yay!
Do guys care about this sort of thing, or am I overthinking it? I'm pretty comfortable around my boyfriend, and he's really nice, so I'm sure... He would never say anything weird, even if it did bother him. I'm not really insecure in any other area of my looks. I'm a solid 10 out of 10 smoke show.
Okay, again.
Should I be worried?
Right. It does not seem like she has a confidence issue.
No.
She has half of a confidence issue. But she writes, should I be worried or should I just let him eat my pussy and ride that dick like the bad bitch I am? Love your show. Thanks.
Like Carlin. The bad bitch virgin
I love
that
the
I am.
Confidence that Carlin is bringing to this.
Does this ring true for any of you? Does anybody like have a story?
I was super insecure about the color of my pussy when.
Really?
Yeah.
You said yours was beet red.
That's right.
Yeah, dark purple like an eggplant.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the outside, too.
Oh.
The outside of an eggplant, not the inside, which sort of looks like a vagina.
I don't. Well.
Amir took a deep, deep victory sip from his coffee after he said
from my red wine. It is 1 p.m.
Do you think that's real?
The email?
Yeah.
Yes. I think
so.
You do?
I do.
We've gotten a lot of fake ones.
Because I just felt so, I'm so confused by the juxtaposition of insecurity and confidence at the
same
time.
I think that she's trying to mask, she's definitely insecure.
Okay.
It's sort of like,
I feel like confidence.
The boyfriend's probably a little nervous too. Like, I'm so excited to eat your pussy.
And is it his first time too?
Yeah.
So we know he's a virgin, but is he like a cunnilingus virgin?
Oh, that we don't know. But yeah, I assume
the talking about how excited he is to eat me out seems like a sort of overconfidence.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. It seems like the sort of thing that you would like reassert to sort of be like, I am so excited. There's nothing bothering me about any of this. But I don't think that it suggests that he's nervous about the look of her vagina.
No, yeah.
As much as he is just about the act in general.
Right. Also, he's so excited to eat me out. I'm like, wait, you've already been dating for 2 months. What, is there like a date you're waiting for? Like,
when I was a senior in high school, my girlfriend and I were waiting for prom.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
For sex or for cunnilingus?
I guess, but actually, We did the cunnilingus thing earlier.
That's what I'm saying. That usually kind of horse before the cart, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm confused and wonder if that's because she's like, nah.
I thought prom stood for pussy rana mouth, wasn't it?
Pussy rana
mouth?
Pussy rana?
Pussy rana mouth.
Pussy R on a mouth.
Well, then you forgot the R.
Oh, yeah. Prom. Pussy on a mouth.
Pussy right, rides on mouth.
Will you go to prom with me?
Sorry, can I eat you out?
I feel like a lot of people wait for prom as like their first.
That's a pussy proposal.
Their first sexual experience overall. And I don't know. Personally, I've never separated like the first time that we have sex from like the first time that I eat someone out. So I just don't think of it as like two different moments in a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it makes me so sad because I'm like, well, first of all, there is so much not white porn if you know where to look for it. So, like,
porno.
Watch that.
Yeah.
I mean,
porno. Actually, if you sort by like the most popular videos on Pornhub, a lot of them are Indian videos.
Are they?
Yeah.
I've done this before
because I was curious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes I don't know like how much Pornhub knows about me. So like when I'm sorting through the popular videos, I'm like, are these really the most popular videos or are they just like the
it's
most
curated.
Popular ones that you like mm-hmm. know that I'll
It's like,
click.
Wait, yeah. All of these are porn stars that are into porn podcast hosts?
Those are the most popular? And they're all Indian.
I've been nervous that like I get too many like stepsister videos and stepdaughter videos.
Whoa.
There's a like weird
what did
upswing.
You Google?
I know. So now like now it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy where I click the ones that are like promoted.
Sure.
But now like
I can't be bothered to type.
There is a genuine upswing in incest porn, and I know this because yesterday we had a porn parody contest at our Oscars party.
And I did not win for I, Tanya, Like to Fuck. And I think that's really
it would have I mean, you know your audience, I would have voted for that. But someone suggested Shape of Daughter, and then someone else suggested The Shape of Stepdaughter, and I was like, all right, come on, guys. And someone was like, I mean, there's a big upswing in incest porn.
And see, every time I say something like that, I feel like somebody's gonna be like, maybe for your Pornhub. Because
just exposing yourself needlessly.
Like, oh yeah, no. My search terms are never daughter.
It's like how people are convinced that their phone is listening to them and serving them ads based on what they say. It's probably the same thing with Pornhub. They probably hear you jerking off and they're like, oh, this is what he likes.
They hear you screaming out, my daughter, my daughter.
Is that my daughter in there? Yeah. ESPN.com. I saw some interesting Reddit thing that was like, it was some porn site that ranks popularity, or maybe it was just that it should rank popularity by the last video or which video gets closed, because it's like, that one is so good that it ends people's porn searches.
Yeah, that one made everybody nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, do you usually watch more than one porn in one sitting?
Oh my god!
I'm serious.
Oh, that's so.
Jake's response
was so
very
sweet, Miel.
Yes. I don't know. I don't look at porn.
I have like fucking 30 different tabs open on.
So
10
you're just
different,
skipping from d- while
10
you maintain.
Windows. Oh yeah,
Miel. Have you ever opened Hulu and skipped through a million types of shows before finding the one that you want to watch?
No.
Well,
I
can't
know.
Relate.
I know what I like.
I watch porn like Tom Cruise in Minority Report. It's like, windows everywhere.
You need to get yourself a precog. Somebody's like, you're going to come to the stepsister video.
I'm usually coming to the precogs.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, you're so also funny. Watching Minority Report.
Bye,
that's right.
Yeah, like, I learned something. Thank you.
That's good. That's really nice.
But I feel like to Carlin,
oh, yes.
I would say that I don't think you should be so nervous about the look of your pussy. Just in general, if your boyfriend's into you, he's going to be into your pussy,
yes.
And will probably not bring up any problem he has with it, but also over time would get used to any...
Dude, but if he did, if he was like, whoa, it's brown, dump him immediately.
Yeah, yeah, that's not... That's
that's not on you to have to like educate someone else how bodies right. look.
And also, if you're yeah. comfortable with this person after 2 months, I think that they... Like, they should be, like, so down for whatever's... Like, there's no way his dick is just, like, clean and pristine and perfect right. looking.
Well, also, dicks if it's his weird. First time, like, if you think for a second that guy is, like, wondering what your vagina looks like and not, like, if he's good at it...
Yeah, he's yeah. way you more don't... concerned about himself.
I think, yeah, exactly that. Like, this insecurity thing is going both ways. Ways for yeah. sure.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I wonder if his excitement to eat her out is based on him being like, I might not be good at sex, right. so I've just been practicing cunnilingus. I'm going right. to fucking nail this part
I
of it.
I know I'm going to explode as soon as you touch my penis, so I'm going to try to get you off first.
Yeah.
I think that if you guys are ready to like go down on each other and start fucking, you could also tell him if you're insecure about something.
Yeah.
Communication
you are allowed
key,
to
Carlin.
Talk about it.
Yeah. You could even just say like, I'm so scared my vagina's brown. And everyone I've seen has been pink.
Right. And I bet your boyfriend is going to be like, I know, I have an idea of what it will look like.
Because who's to say he doesn't watch not white porn?
He very
you don't
well
know
might
what he can
Indian
do.
Porn.
So would you bring it up if you were her? Or would you just say, he probably won't know or care, and it's better not to bring it up at all?
I think if I were her, outside of him, if I felt weird about my body, I would work on that as a person.
Oh, like dyeing it?
Yeah,
your whole body.
Labia bleaching for sure.
Everything but
like I got a labial bleach.
Like I totally get why she'd be insecure, and it's not her fault at all. Like if you aren't white in this country, like you are the other. So I get why she'd be like, oh no, this is weird. But I feel like she deserves to be super psyched about her vagina, even if there's not a dude involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
I wonder too, like how much she masturbates. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's no way to make yourself feel sexier than to just be like, yeah, look at that. Yeah, get it, girl. Like,
yo, break out the mirror, babe.
Yeah, you know?
So like, I'm going to, I'll respond and I'll answer. I'll ask her, how often do you masturbate?
No.
As a follow-up.
You said pussy way more than she wrote it in that email, too. Yeah.
She said private parts, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. I misread. Or maybe it was some sort of weird acronym. Anyway, I answered that one?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's all going to work out. Your boyfriend's going to be very, very excited about your vagina.
Yeah, I mean, and you should be too.
Yeah,
true. Vaginas are tight as fuck. And like literally babies come
but not
out of them.
All of them, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by the somebody brought up a good point. It was you, that Demi, that this guy's nervous as fuck about his dick.
Oh, yeah.
So like... He probably does not have the the space right now to be like, no. Oh, her pussy's weird.
No. He's,
your pussy could be a square, and he'd just be like, oh, I hope my dick is going to... Is my dick weird? Should my dick be a square?
That's what the... Like, yeah, there's the first kiss, first blowjob, first sex, and then the first time you just, like, ask somebody if your dick is fine.
Right.
When did you lose your is my dick fine virginity?
Still haven't.
Nice. Yeah.
And everybody tells me it's fucked up, actually. So I'm waiting for that one person to tell me it's fine.
All right, Demi. Do you have a 47-year-old man's name?
Ooh.
He's got to be 47, though.
47?
Yep.
Richie.
Nice. He never outgrew it, huh?
Nope. Sometimes you find something that works.
Yep. He wears a really
no
small
rich,
leather
no
jacket.
No dick.
Hey, guys. I'm Richie, a 47-year-old man, and I'm probably one of your oldest listeners introduced to the show by my son.
Hell yeah.
He's a senior in high school, and he's in the middle of applying to colleges. He does not have the best grades, but is still applying for community colleges because me and my wife have told him to. He's expressed to us that he does not want to go to college because he does not like school and because I could give him a pretty high-paying job at a construction company that I manage. He has been working part-time for a while, so I know... He has the potential of going full-time, but I really want him to go to college and gain more experience and knowledge. Should I make him go to college and by saying I won't offer, and should I do this by saying I won't offer him a job? Or should I accept that school is just not for him? and let him start his adult life working for me. Best regards, Richie.
Woof.
What do you guys think about college? Did you go? Is it overrated? Is it underrated?
I went to college. I think it's partially overrated.
Where did you go?
I went to UT in Austin.
Oh, I knew that.
Great school.
I feel like, funny enough, I think this is like the opposite sort. Like my advice is probably the opposite thing that a lot of parents suggest, where it's like they take a gap year and then go to college. I think I would say, because he seems so cocksure of not wanting to go to college and like wanting to fall back on this thing that his dad can provide for him, I would say if he can go to college for a year and then decide whether or not it's truly for him.
Right. Oh, cool.
And but then, it's also a community year. College. And is it in his same town? Would he be moving out?
I would assume it's community college. It's close to home.
So he's probably still going to live at home then.
Yeah. Let's say he still lives at home.
Is that really an experience then?
It's not necessarily quintessential college experience.
No. It's just the classes.
It's just
part.
Classes.
Yeah.
Which is like the worst part of college.
Unless you're figuring out how to do laundry, it's not really college, I think.
I do think that classes are the least essential part of college because it's like just an extension of education. But the biggest part of college is learning to be an adult, which means completely separating yourself from your
and
parents.
And like getting out of your comfort zone and like trying new shit and being around new types of people.
Being a member of a community.
Right.
What Some about sort of fraternity.
How about you, Miel? What's your college experience?
Okay, well, in a nutshell, I knew I didn't want to go to university, so I amalgamated my own curriculum by taking classes at community colleges, private lessons, classes at night school, and I just kind of like made my ideal education from like four or five institutions.
Where was this?
An a la carte education.
A la carte education.
In LA?
Yeah.
And did you do 4 years worth of a la carte-ness?
Like three. Yeah, and I got really good at the things I wanted to do, and wow. I was like, cool, I don't actually need a piece of paper to be good at it.
Yeah.
So well, I was happy with that, but I don't think I would have had at all the kind of growth I had and clarity about my life if I was living at home when I did that.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's all about moving away.
Right? I'm almost like, dude, this kid, fuck college, just like...
Give him a full-time job and let him...
trap his ass. That's free labor. No. Yeah. I feel like that kid needs to go do something other for a while, right?
Go away for a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then also, like, or he could,
go into the wild.
Or he could become an adult by having a full-time job and making a salary and
moving
out. But
for your dad?
I mean, I feel like this would be a different story if he hadn't already been working part-time for his dad.
Right.
Yeah.
If dad likes the son as an employee, like, doesn't think he's a piece of shit, thinks he would be a good worker, and the kid is like, I want to work full-time.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds... fine to me.
I
was 18, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So like I thought maybe college was for me. I had a guidance counselor that was like, college is a bad idea for you. I was like, no, it's gonna be fine. My parents wanted me to go. I went, it didn't take, I moved back home.
Why did he say it would be bad for you?
Because he said I was a bad student and I didn't want to go to college. He's like, he was not a great guidance counselor.
But like
end he was right. Like, college is not for everybody.
Yeah.
So if...
Do you regret doing it, though?
I guess I don't regret it because it led me to the career I had eventually.
Right.
But I don't know. I wonder if I did know what I want to do, if I had, like, been given the tools and, like, allowed to do, like, what I articulated I wanted, I could have done it faster.
Did you know before going that's what you wanted?
I knew that I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't really know how. So
I wonder if there's a college out there that just doesn't have you go into class. It's like you live in dorms. You have to like make food sometimes. Sometimes you have a meal plan. You got to do your own laundry. But then like you also don't have to go to like Southeast Asian Studies 101. Like that's a weird part of college.
It's a co-op.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want a college. Living.
Yeah. Communal living. A school without the classes part because... It doesn't really matter if you learn astronomy in a weird class with 800 people in it.
And there are plenty of people in college who have no idea what they want to do. They're just like, oh, I'm going to do astronomy and religious studies and political science, and I'm on a rugby team.
Which is fine unless like, you're paying $51,000 a year.
Yeah.
But then this kid is like, I know that I want to work construction with my dad.
Well, does he? Because to me, I'm hearing that maybe it's just fear of unknown that's informing that want. You know what I mean? I can't tell if this kid's like, I fucking love construction, or if he's just like, I don't know, I'm not a big guy, I don't need to do, like, is it a confidence thing?
I'll just work with you, Dad.
Yeah.
That's a good question for the dad to explore. Like, is it like a positive thing?
Right.
Is he like, I know what I want to do, and I'm feeling good, Or is it like, I'm afraid.
That's true. I don't know.
Or is it even just like, I can do this, so why explore further options?
Right. Because you don't know what else is out there. Right. Maybe, you know?
So what would you do if you were a parent already of an 18-year-old already? Would you tell them, you got to go to school? Would you say, you can't work here? You can't, it's like a... Oh, you got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Like 18-year-old and like an adult. If he's like, I don't want to go to college, you make him. But what happens once?
That's like what happened to you.
Yeah,
they made you go.
They made me go, but they couldn't make me go to class.
Dad.
Yeah,
I'd probably be like, I want you to do it for like at least a semester, and then we can reconsider. Like, because I wouldn't want to force them to be like, you're going all 4 years, and you're doing it this way. But I'd also want to push them to be like, you have to at least understand what college is for you before saying you don't want to do
a bargain.
It. Yeah.
What if you took the money that you were going to spend on a year of community college and said, here, go travel, come back in 2 months, then tell me if you still want to work here. You know what I mean? Because like, if the kid doesn't want to learn something, fine, but at least like experience other things so that you don't have that worst case scenario of he just works that job and then resents the shit out of his dad forever for
it's
it.
Like, if you're not going to go to college, you got to at least go to Portugal.
Like, oh, okay, dad.
That's like a sick
deal. You're the man, dad.
Here's $3,100. I don't want to see you again until December
15th.
Go
stay at a hostel in Lisbon.
Yeah, like make it work and then come back a changed man or fixated on this thing you want to do and now you know you want
to
do it.
Well,
yeah.
I went to Portugal and I built some shit there, so here we are.
So now you know I'm into construction.
But I don't know how to eat a lot of shitty ass food in a dining hall, Dad.
Here's 6 months of laundry. I didn't figure it out.
Just wet shirts in a duffel bag. All right, let's take a break, thank some sponsors, and we'll be back with more Demi and Miel after this. Demi and Miel, do you guys have any
unsolicited advice?
What?
Did you make that?
We made one like fake one, and at the end I did mention, I don't even know how we got there, but at a certain point it was telling my mom I'm about to come. Anyway.
You didn't warn them about this stinger at all.
We usually play a different one. That one was sent to us from South Africa.
Do you have anything for me yelling I'm coming inside my mom?
I never mentioned inside. That was a weird liberty he took.
I love the pause that you had to take before being like, all right, look, I'm going to have to explain this. So I'm coming. And
my mom's there or not. Anyway.
Fair enough.
Kevin from South Africa wrote that one, so we appreciated that stinger. Anyway, unsolicited advice. Do you guys have anything that you would like to tell?
You go.
I would say if you are someone who is creative, but you find yourself getting through a lot of creative roadblocks.
I'll forget this one. Miel?
Just find, like, set an alarm for some point in the day where you are always free and do that thing for 10 minutes, even if it's just writing the words "the" over and over. Because I think setting a schedule for having to force yourself to work on something is the easiest way to actually get that thing done. And I find that a lot of times I don't get something done unless I'm sitting down and having to, like, clear everything out and, like, follow this routine, when it'd be so much easier to just be like, all right, give myself 10 minutes to try and do this. And then by, like, the ninth minute, I'm like, wait, okay, I have one little thing. And then you, like, sort of spread that 10 minutes to 15, and then to 30, and then an hour. And it's just like, if you force yourself to get into the habit of doing that thing that is hard for you to do, then it becomes easier over time.
Routine and schedule.
Yes.
Do you have a schedule even if you don't have a job that day?
That's probably the best way to do it. I don't have a job currently, and it's the worst because I'm just like, I need someone else to tell me to do the thing. But then, like, if I give myself a point where I'm like, all right, I'll just start writing for 10 minutes and see what comes out and, like, clear everything. Like, I'm not going to check Twitter. I'm not going to check my phone. Just 10 minutes. And then by that, like, ninth minute, I am sort of going, like, wait, okay, now here's a thought that might work for it. And even if it's not a good idea, you've written something down. And then later you can look at it for the next 10 minutes and go, that was shit. Here's how I can make it better.
That's great. That's good.
It feels like those things are, like, at odds with creativity sometimes, because you're like, oh, creativity, you never know when it's going to strike.
Wait for the muse, baby. Yeah.
But like the way our lives are now, that's not ever going to happen. No. Like, because you can keep your day so completely full of distractions.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that muse will come when it's like, oh, I'm doing something else right now, so I can't really tackle it. But if you just like give yourself the 10 minutes or something, then it's like, you don't have to come up with the idea then and there, but you can write a shitty thing and then look at it later and go, that was shitty, but I know how to make it better.
Yes. A lot of people are afraid to start stuff because they're like, oh, it's going to suck. It has to be perfect the first time.
And
you have to write so much stuff that sucks.
No, you should suck for a while.
And absolutely. Get the sucks out now.
Get the sucks out.
Get the sucks out. Mom, I'm getting the sucks out.
I'm sucking the sucks. What's your sleep schedule like? Are you like, if I don't have work, I'm just going to stay up till 6 a.m.?
Yes, a lot of the time, and it's terrible. But I think I'm getting slowly better about it by having to wake up earlier for things that I'm like, oh, I know that I'm going to need to work with daylight, so I'm just going to try and get up at 8 and do what I can. But yeah, it's really bad.
Do you have a time of day where you think that you're the most creative? Or is that like what this whole thing is combating?
The thing is, usually I feel like I'm most creative at like 8 p.m. But that's...
Yeah, you're a night person.
I am so very much a night person. And a lot of times, like, we will have a podcast recording, and she'll be like, oh, are you... Like, when did you go to sleep? I'm like, oh, like 4 a.m. I started working at midnight. But I got a thing done, and I need to, like, push that so much earlier and earlier because I go crazy when I'm just, like, having to make something at night. And then I'm like, well, I need noise to do this, and I have a roommate, and he's going to have to hear me just
yelling.
Yeah,
you should buy, like, blackout curtains so you always think it's nighttime in your house.
I should.
Just become a vampire.
I could do that.
That's your other piece of advice.
That's Miel's piece of unsolicited advice.
Suck blood.
Get some fangs.
Stay away
from garlic.
Miel, do you have anything? See if you can beat that.
Well, like
it is a competition.
I was gonna say something stupid, but now I'm like, wait, that's a good advice. Fuck. Okay, I'll give good advice. Jeez.
It's barely good advice.
I feel like something I learned recently that's been a total game changer is that the way you feed yourself affects everything.
Oh, shit.
Everything.
Yes, I learned the same. All right, go ahead.
I just had pizza and ice cream for lunch.
Yeah.
How is that going to affect me?
You're going to shit, man.
It's like, it's this weird...
Oh, shit, it's happening.
It's like, especially,
Mom, I'm shitting.
Because, like, our generation is so into eating out and, like, eating junk food and shit, like, probably more than any generation ever before us.
Because we can.
It's an option. It's so easy. Like,
and it tastes good.
Postmates,
and it's cheap.
And we're all, like, addicted to work. But in not feeding ourselves and making food for ourselves, it's almost like this subconscious way of being like, you don't matter enough to spend 30 minutes actually making a nice meal for yourself.
So if you're a trash person, you eat trash food and then you start eating trash
food. It does, even on a subconscious level, like it feeds into your perception of yourself. And so like even if it's a simple item, like you make yourself a nice sandwich, genuinely.
Everyone likes sandwiches.
Your whole sense of self is like boosted in this very hard to define way. And then you feel better about your routines and your habits and your work schedule. And things just kind of start making more sense. And it's the tiniest adjustment.
What's in your perfect sandwich?
Oh, dude. Okay, are you ready though?
Actually,
like, how much time do you have?
We have like 4 seconds.
Perfect.
Elevator again.
You take this fucking chow cheese that's vegan and it's amazing.
Chow cheese.
Chow cheese, original flavor. It's very important.
What nut is that?
It's like
made
coconut
from?
Based. It's so good and it melts. Just trust me. I know it sounds gross, but it's bomb.
Coconut cheese. Okay.
Yes. Then you take that garlic spread from Trader Joe's. I don't know if you've had that. It's like got a cult following. It's amazing.
Is it like a mayo or is it like straight up garlic?
It's like just whipped oil and garlic.
Oh,
it tastes amazing.
That sounds really good.
Okay. So you
and
got that cheese, you
spread
got the garlic.
That all over your bread. I like to use like a kind of a sturdy French bread. And then you get spinach, tomatoes, onion. And then if you're into like extra shit, sometimes I'll do like some kind of marinated tofu or like a tempeh shit situation.
You're the veggie. You're a veggie? Vegan?
I'm vegan, yeah.
Vegan.
And then sandwich them together, press it, grill on both sides.
Whoa.
Boom.
Grilled sandwich.
Honestly, if you're feeling crazy, throw in some of those hot and spicy jalapenos from Trader Joe's, which are fucking amazing.
You love the Joe's.
Oh, the Joe's is my
TJ's, dad. Dude.
Trey J's is where I live.
Trey J's.
It's so good. And you're like, okay, I did it. And you take like 10 minutes for yourself just to like have a nice little meal.
Yeah.
Have you heard
that thing that like a lot of... If you start your day by like making your bed,
yes,
it's like it's that mini accomplishment that like sets your whole entire day right.
Yeah,
oh wow,
that's
it's the same thing.
It's just it is like even when I fucked up making food, I've been cooking for the last like 2 years.
Yeah,
and even when I did it bad, I was like so proud of myself that I'd take a photo of everything.
See, It's just like, it's a tiny joy, but like it actually kind of makes you feel good in a real way.
Puts one up in the W column.
That's so very real. Like the thing of like, oh yeah, I fucked this up, but I made it. Yeah.
I made fucking
pasta and there's chicken on one side and lettuce on the, I'm like, I did this.
We don't have many opportunities to feel like that as adults.
Yeah.
Like other than career based, which is like, you know, kind of got a dark side too.
Right.
Just career for fun based. For yourself.
Do you ever do the like deliver me a meal plan thing?
No.
Like, hey, just throw a salad at my door every morning at 10 a.m. and I'll pay you $15.
I feel like I can't say that I don't like those because obviously they sponsor a lot of podcasts. I'm not a fan.
Your Blue Apron ad airs next week.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about making it yourself either. I'm talking about that pre-made meal plan shit.
Oh, where it's like delivered, fully done. Yeah. See, I'm like kind of an environmentalist, so all that packaging super bums me out.
My interesting. Old roommate used to do that, and it was always this, it always seemed weird. Like, it was kind of just, it felt like he was getting fresh meals, but I was just like, well, it's still being
frozen
and like delivered and like, it's just coming to you.
It's also like, not hard to make a salad.
Right. And you're like literally removing the human element, which is by far the nicest part of eating. Like someone made this for me. Yeah. It's like, no, they it's made like it for money.
You're paying for an overbearing mom who delivers you food every single day.
But it's not even made by your mom.
Oh, you know because what I mean? My mom works at Thistle. She's the CMO though.
Well,
she's
like,
not packaging.
My mom is, I couldn't think of a name. Jenny Fresh from Hello Fresh.
Nice.
What a weird coincidence that is.
Jay Fresh.
Are you a good chef?
No.
Are you Mike Raven shit?
I try not to, but a lot of times I do. I think if there's ever a point in which I do have the time to make myself a meal, then I'm just like, why not just fucking cook like a chicken in a pan and throw some shit on it? And then I'm like, great, I did this.
Throw some shit
That's
on a chicken.
Lot.
Yeah. My recipe.
Cooking chicken's scary.
It is scary, but over time I realized that most meat is just like put it in some oil and keep flipping it until it's not
until it's not pink on the inside, except for steak, which is good when it's like that.
Yes. And then pasta is like, oh, put it in the water and boil it until it's soft, and then put some pesto, and congrats, you're Wolfgang Puck.
Rice is like level two of pasta.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you can boil shit? All right, that's a pretty good rice, start. But can it be the right amount of
shit? I've been cooking rice for a very long time, and it's still like a coin toss if I fuck it up.
Yeah, it's never easy. Although I do feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, Demi just mentioned pesto, and Demi eats pesto with tortilla chips as if it's a dip.
What's weird about that?
No, I like
they
that.
They say you can spread it on bread. Why can't I spread it on stale Mexican bread?
Chips are stale Mexican
bread. Well, tortilla chips.
This is Demi's brand of tortilla chips.
Stale Mexican bread. Yeah. Is that not, y'all don't, oh, just me? Okay.
You're thinking of biscottis.
I am thinking of biscottis.
And I'll put a pesto on that.
That famous Mexican bread biscottis.
All right, two very solid tips.
What was your stupid advice?
Drink more water.
That's super
so dumb.
I fucking love water, dude. Really? I don't know why we don't drink it more.
I feel like I've had this conversation like three times in the last days of how good water is.
It's so good.
Do you know?
Sparkling water sucks.
Any sparkling water?
I'm not a fan.
He's a hater.
I'm a hater.
I don't like sparkling water either. But Dave Eggers. There's a book that he wrote where he calls water the unadulterated soul of the universe.
Whoa.
And I
that's
just
deep.
Yeah, I fucking believe it. And I love water so much.
Every time I drink water, I'm like,
peed
this
twice
is me.
As you guys got here.
I feel you.
When water is like cold and it like the moment where it touches your lips, and you're like, that's the best thing in the world. I'm just like, yeah, I'm an adult and it feels good to drink water.
Fun thing to do, room temp water. Chug like a huge cup first thing when you wake up.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing.
I got that tip. It's like you lose 2 cups of water when you sleep every night.
Wait,
so
what?
You
is
have
that
to
true?
Just pour it back into your body.
What?
You're full of lies. I don't.
That's what somebody told me.
Why would I do? I would just be like, great, the water is out.
No, it's like evaporating or sweating or
and
whatever.
You want
it's
it leaving. In there.
Yeah, you want. You basically wake up and just pour water into your stomach again.
You were doing that water suppository thing where you stick a water balloon up your ass when you wake up.
Yeah, so I'll sleep with a balloon in my asshole, and then whenever I get a bad dream, it'll explode in me and sort of leak out all the bad ideas.
And that's how you lose the 2 cups of water?
Yeah.
You just wake up in the middle of the night like, huh, pop.
You shouldn't clench your anus when you wake up.
It's like a nightmare catcher of sorts.
Nice.
All right, I wanted to answer one more question since we have you guys, but not for very much longer. All right?
Okay.
We have another guy's name. Miel, do you have a guy's name?
How old?
Let's call him 29.
Oh, he's for sure like a Chet.
Oh, that's good.
Definitely a Chet. Hanks.
Chet Hanks writes.
Did Tom Hanks really name his son Chet?
I don't know if like he Chester. Did or if he named himself Chet Hayes.
Yeah, I don't think Tom Hanks would have done that.
And Colin is such a normal guy.
Yeah. How did Chet get so
Where did
fucked
we go
up?
Wrong with Chet?
He also has Truman, so maybe there's a slope.
Oh, there's a middle one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know too much about the middle one. Anyway, this Chet Hayes writes, 7 or 8 years ago, my friend invested in Bitcoin. I think it was worth not too much back then, so my friend had bought a few of them. One night about 8 years ago, I went out to dinner and a movie with a few of my friends, and I ended up paying for the friend who had bought the Bitcoin. After we went back to my house after the movie, I remember he said that he would pay me back using some of his Bitcoin that he recently bought. Apparently, I signed up for a Coinbase account, and he transferred the money over to me. I completely forgot about this money until your recent podcast where Amir gave the unsolicited advice about cryptocurrency. That advice inspired me to check to see if I still even had Bitcoin in my Coinbase account. And sure enough, it's still in there, and it's valued at over $20,000.
Oh, my God.
Now, this all sounds great, but I don't know what to do. Should I tell my friend about this money? I feel like he's forgotten about giving me the Bitcoin because he hasn't mentioned anything in years. If I do tell him, I feel like he would be entitled to some of the money, but I really do not want to give him any of it because I have major student loans I need to pay off. I do not want to lose some of the money, but I also do not want to create a rift in this friendship that I've had for over 12 years. What should I do? Love, Chet Hayes.
I don't understand why he thinks he would owe his friend some of the money.
Yeah. That's because he basically gave him the Bitcoin. So it's like, it's kind of like that sour grapes thing. Have you guys seen that movie where a guy gives another guy a quarter? He plays a slot machine and wins $1 million.
Oh.
And it's like, all right, now that I deserve some of that money. I gave you the quarter. That's... So maybe he's afraid his friend will be like, I deserve some of that money. I gave you the Bitcoin.
But doesn't
the
friend
that's
have
exactly
Bitcoin?
What happened. Yeah. You gave me the Bitcoin. So...
Also, if you give someone money knowing that they are doing, like, they're going to use that to play a chance-based game, it's like when someone's like, oh, here, I bought you a lottery ticket and it's yours. If you are like, oh, you won, now I get it, then you're an asshole who's just like, if you didn't win, then it was just for you. But if you did win, then I'm actually
Wait,
just
but
doing
I'm
this
sorry,
for you.
Yeah. They're both winners, though.
Because yeah, he still has some.
This guy, in theory,
yeah. So if anything, you'll be a good friend if you remind the kid.
Right. Hey, remember, like, check your Bitcoin, dude, because yeah. The one you gave me is worth 20K.
I gave you one?
No, I will actually use it to pay off my loans.
Oh, it's already gone, yeah.
Also, do you want to apologize to everybody that lost money in cryptocurrency because of your unsolicited
Lost money? You've only lost money if you've sold. Right now, I've just told you to invest money.
A couple weeks ago, you told everybody to get in the crypto game, and now it is just...
It's a sure bet.
It is, yeah.
Well, I told it to only gamble money that you're willing to lose. So,
and everybody did lose.
Of course. And so will this guy if he doesn't sell out his Bitcoin. So my unsolicited advice to him is to get out with over $20,000 free. I feel
well,
like he should use that
it's
money.
Not $20,000 free anymore. Now it's down to like what, eight?
No, well, I don't know how many he has, but if he has two,
I see.
So, would you mention it to your friend?
I mean,
as like a funny little thing, or would
I
you be
might,
afraid?
But I don't think I'd be obligated
yeah,
to.
How close are they, too?
He said, is it a 12-year friendship?
Yeah, but like,
I wouldn't say
I have
shit.
A lot of friends I've known for that long that like I talk to twice a year.
Oh, that's not very
you
much.
You know what
at
I mean?
All. Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything. Why do you have to say anything?
Right. That's weird.
Just take the money and run. He doesn't have
I
to
would
know.
Just be like, hey, man, I just wanted to double check that you remember about Bitcoin thing because I just remembered it and you probably have a ton of money now.
Yeah. I got rid of mine. I wish I had one still.
I sold all of mine when it was worth $600 and I can't find the last one that I had. Do you remember if I accidentally gave you a Bitcoin?
He's wearing like a giant coat and like rings on everything. You're just like, I sold mine ages ago. I can't.
Still riddled with student loan debt.
It's so weird that he's taking the onus of like, I don't want to create a rift in the friendship. I'm like, well, if this pisses your friend off, that's definitely your friend's problem.
Yeah.
If you gave your friend a lotto ticket for his birthday or her birthday and they won $11 million, would you want some of that cash?
I would want some. I would understand that I'm not entitled to it. That's what a lotto ticket is. Like,
would you think that person is an asshole if he didn't give you any?
No.
Listen, though, it's different, though, because this is paying back for actual money. This wasn't a random gift.
Yeah, right. This was
because Bitcoin just as easily could have completely tanked, gone down to zero, right. And then your friend got a free dinner.
Right, see? So I don't think he owes him shit. I would be like, if I gave you a lotto ticket, you're going to throw me some bones. But if I was like, here's $5 back, and then you invested that $5, that was your money.
Yeah.
Owed it.
Yeah. I'm going to ask all my friends that I gave money to 10 years ago, what did you end up doing with that money? Did you ever invest it?
Right.
What did you invest in?
That's
Intel?
Crazy.
That $10 I gave you is now worth $4,000, or it could have been if you invested it. You owe me $2,000.
Steve Jobs the money to buy a computer, and then he founded Apple, and now I am owed $1 million.
So you knew Steve Jobs, but you have no idea what Apple's worth.
Correct.
$1 million, Steve. I'm gonna ruin you.
Well, I gave him $1, and then I don't know. Founding Apple probably cost $1 million, so I'm gonna get 1/1,000,000th of how much he's worth.
I gotta get him on the phone,
Steve.
I have some really bad news.
It's been a while
since
we talked.
Steve, hope you're well.
Do you have the dollar that you owe me? If not, I'll take $1 million. I'm an idiot. How did we even know each other?
I will accept Bitcoin, Steve.
Anyway, call me back. Bye. All right. Well,
love, Waz.
I guess you can tell your friend is what we're saying. He doesn't. You
don't
owe
need
him anything.
To.
I would keep it a secret because we don't. I don't think that you need to. You know, I don't think he has the right to be mad. But you might as well not even go down this road.
But then you're gonna have just a weird tension of like keeping a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Just here's what you do. Friendly text, dude. Do you remember you gave me Bitcoin? There you go. That's all you say.
And then you throw your phone away.
Yeah, bitch, I remember.
Or, dude, do you still have any? Yeah. Boom, done.
But
what if he's like, no, I sold all mine and I'm dead broke. And then,
oh,
then
it sucks, bro. Let's go for beers. My treat.
I'm rich now.
You
no,
can't
you
have
don't
more than two.
It.
Have you guys ever had like lotto fantasies where it's like, if I won $100 million?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
And then would you tell anybody? In my fantasy, I don't tell anybody.
I wouldn't tell a goddamn soul.
Would you tell your family?
No. I literally would. Well, okay. So the thing is, I would use the money to provide for my family to a certain degree. But then I'd be like, that's all I want in the lotto. Sorry.
What? Guys, you are so weird. I'd just be like, hey, I won money. So good
would
for
you,
me.
Would you brag about winning $100 million?
No. If someone asked me, I'd be like, yeah, I did. It's tight.
So and then if they were, so you would tell all your friends, basically.
I wouldn't sure. tell my friends either.
I think I would tell all my friends.
Yeah.
I would brag I all the time.
Like
I would post
anybody?
On Instagram. I would put it on my
stories.
Insta story.
Haters yeah. going to say it's fake.
I have heard too many stories of
I would
people
become
either
lavish.
Losing money or... And also, I'm already too much the kind of person who is like, I want to provide and like help for people. So I think if people were like came to me and said they were struggling, they were friends, I'd be like, I got it. Like, and then I know a lot of people would say that. Fully aware that they are not struggling, just kind of want some money.
Yeah.
So I just be like, I'm going to just invest this or save it or put it away. But also, I will know that if anyone ever mentions that they are struggling, I can help them mm-hmm. and not worry about
keeping your back pocket.
I would immediately hire a money manager and then, like, any request, I would, like, loop him in. It's like, hey, I would love to help you pay for your student loans. Looping in my money manager, Morty.
Whoa, how does Jake have a money manager? I thought he just worked at HeadGum and now he has a money manager? That's awesome.
That's that lotto money, baby.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, I forgot you were telling
me. Oh, I'm telling everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd hide it.
I don't know. I think I'd keep it a secret. I'd be afraid.
But then don't you think if your friends found out, they'd feel horrible?
Full circle. What?
If, like, your friends found out that you'd been keeping it from, they would be like, dude, what the fuck? Why didn't you tell us that?
I think they'll be pissed if you have $100 million. Like, well, you can't give me $1,000. Give me $2,000. I really
but again,
need $5,000.
Yeah, that's
would,
their problem.
Right.
Yeah, but then it creates a whole conversation I don't want to have.
That's a
I'm
shitty
I'm hanging
friend.
Out with
Thank
fucking
you.
Rihanna and James Vanderbeek. That's my new crew.
You could do what better
a,
than James
what a,
Vanderbeek.
Yeah, what a two people.
Rihanna and fucking Joshua Jackson then. Pacey,
Wait, Dawson's
Pacey pretty... over Dawson. For
Wait,
sure.
Where does Rihanna fit into this narrative?
I'm hanging out with Rihanna and Scott Baio. And we're all going to Tommy's Hamburgers.
But honestly, me and Rihanna are going to get together and choose the third member of the crew. I'm going to bring Josh Jackson, but if she has somebody else in mind.
She's like, Jay-Z? He's like, yeah.
Rihanna's like, I'm already rich and famous and I'm friends with everybody I want to be friends with. We don't need to make a dream team.
It'll be Vanderbeek for sure. If she has her own druthers, Rihanna's going to choose Vanderbeek.
It's kind of crazy what happened to everybody in Dawson's Creek. Like, Katie Holmes went on to marry Tom Cruise. Michelle Williams went on to, like...
Rule
the world, and Joshua Jackson went on to be one of the greatest actors of all time.
He had a cameo in Kimmy Schmidt and married Diane Lane?
Of course.
Is that, am I wrong? Who did he marry?
Who married Diane Lane?
No, he was
Am I
married...
thinking of Josh Brolin?
Wait.
Was he married to Kate Hudson? No.
I thought Marty was married to Diane Lane.
Marty?
Yeah.
No.
Marty
no.
McFly?
No, Reese
Marty
Witherspoon?
Of HeadGum?
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Oh. Was it Reese Witherspoon?
Then Joshua Jackson and Reese Witherspoon?
No, I think it was Diane Lane or Kruger.
I thought he had...
Oh, Diane Kruger.
I thought he had kids
beautiful.
With some famous A-list blonde lady.
Anyway, I think he definitely Diane married a Diane. It doesn't matter which one.
Diane!
Doesn't really story. Matter.
About Josh and Diane.
All right, that's it. That's
it.
It. We're done.
Diane Kruger.
Hell
no way.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Had to figure it out.
Do you guys want to promote anything besides your podcast?
What's going on?
Not me.
All right. So listen to Punch Up the Jams.
Well, do you?
On headgum.com.
Hell yeah.
And if you have your own questions or theme songs, you can submit them all to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song was written by the guy who created Flight Drop. Remember that?
Flight Drop. Hell yeah. Like a century ago. I'm going to crash some planes.
He's reprogramming the app right now.
Don't look up these flights. And then this closing one is another Drake parody from a song called Take Care.
I love Take Care. Take Care is one of my favorite Drake songs.
Much love from Anthony and Marielle Grace from Montreal. So thanks, guys.
Au revoir.
And thanks. Nice. Thanks, Demi. Thanks to Demi and Miel for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Us.
Come back soon.
Okay.
Maybe.
See you in a week, everybody else. Bye.
Bye.
There's a show for you. They will care for you. Matching Tinder won't help you grow. All these dating apps say you're done with that, but deep down you are a hoe. When you're ready, just send a question. Jake and Amir will do the blessing. And if you're roasted, please don't regret it. It's comedy, just so you know. You won't ever have to worry. You barely even have to try. You've made all these mistakes. So ask these two guys.
If you're confused, here's what to do. Ask if I were you. Ask if I were you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.